Welcome to the Mass Youth Soccer Final Score Podcast, assisting the development of players, coaches, referees, and administrators one episode at a time. Now here's your host, Marcus Cole.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm excited to welcome Mass Youth Soccer Technical Director Tommy Geis. Tommy, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's awesome to be back again.
We have a very interesting topic, something I've been wanting to talk about now for a while, and I think it's something we need to dive into a little bit more in depth. And I'm glad Tommy's here because Tommy will be very eloquently speaking on this and can really relay the message that we're trying to get across. We're talking about playing time. Obviously, that's a very important point for not only the player, but also something that the parents bring up, coaches bring up. Tommy, what is the ultimate thought behind playing time for our soccer players?
Probably 20 to 30 years ago, somewhere along the way, we came up with this concept that soccer is not about winning and losing. And from the bigger picture, it really isn't. But from a development standpoint, it's something we really want to encourage children to understand, that what it means to play to win, which is more of a mindset than a coaching philosophy. Players can learn how to deal with that and how to play to win, but also how to deal with the adversity of losing, because that's part of the game also. And it actually keeps them in the game longer. Where we start losing focus on it is when the coaches start sacrificing the integrity of the children or their beliefs as a coach on how you manage children in order to secure a win. And that's where we want to make sure there's a clear separation. It's not the adult's job to try to manipulate the result as much as it is the children's job to understand how to play in that environment and how to have that winning type mentality, which is still enjoyable.
I agree. And it's funny that you talk about it in that sense, just because there is that dignity and respect component into that, where if I'm a player and I come to training and I'm working as hard as I can, I might not be as athletic, or I might not be as gifted as maybe another player on the team, but I'm working, I want to get better, I want to learn and develop and things along that lines. But if I don't get, I mean, I can do so much in a training session. I need to be able to have that opportunity in a match situation to be able to put into practice what I've learned in practice.
Well, you're absolutely right with that sentiment, because people often, it is very much the 60s, 70s, and 80s mentality that you earn your playing time in practice. But I would equate that to going through a math class, and when it comes time to test, you're not allowed to test because you're not as smart as the other kids in the classroom, potentially. The game time is to show the coach and the player where they have grown or where they still might need to grow. So it is, if we believe in development as a coach, then we have to believe that development revolves around the game itself, not just bringing somebody on as a quote practice player. Or I heard the buzzword used, that we accepted this player. This player was selected onto the team as a quote developmental player, which I would challenge a coach to show me a player who's not a developmental player. They're all in the same boat. But the children have to have a chance to show where their strengths are, where their deficits are, so that the coach can now take it back to practice and help improve upon those. And it's not realistic to say that I could tell just by practice whether or not the player can get it or not, because not all players are what you would call practice type players. They don't wrap their head around that process yet. Now, as you grow in the game and you start getting better and developing, yes, practice is an element that you would say puts you on the field. Like the New England Revolution, they look at game footage, they look at practice footage. But when we're talking about the youth environment, these are not the children. They're still learning that component of the game and what it means to practice and how we connect practice to the game so that they understand more the purpose of practice as they grow.
You know, one thing I think us coaches maybe miss, and or maybe we just don't understand, is especially at the younger levels, we all understand things at different speeds. We understand things at different times. It may take some of us a little bit longer to understand a concept or whatever we're trying to teach at a practice. Talk to us a little bit about that as far as, you know, the mentality of a coach and understanding that point that some, you know, not everybody's going to develop at the same time and at the same speed.
Well, absolutely. Children develop at different speeds, at different age groups. The light bulbs, the proverbial light bulbs, tend to click on at different times, the aha moment. Sometimes children will go away from the summer and they come back, and just over a 2 month period, it's almost like the old Bugs Bunny cartoons when Bugs Bunny would run into a wall and then 15 shadows would kind of bump into him because everything's catching up to him at that point. I think children go through that same process without hitting into the wall necessarily, but they get into the situation where it takes time to process the information and learn it. But I would also challenge the coaches as well, that when you put a child into a training activity, are we doing a good enough job of connecting what we're doing back to the game? Is there clear learning lines for the player that this is what we're doing? If you are very much focused on a drill type mentality, then those drills are very difficult to connect back to the game. So if a player is not able to perform that task in a game, it might be because they just don't see that there's no connection to them mentally as to what's actually happening. That sometimes comes with age. That sometimes comes with the training environment. That could come with experience. And now I've seen that situation enough times that you understand that this activity we're doing in training has purpose in the game.
And I think that's a thing as well for coaches to be able to self-reflect a little bit about their training sessions and what they're doing. Is there that connection? Is there that disconnect of some sort? Or, you know, is your training plan maybe a little bit more advanced than your players are? Would that make sense to think that way?
I think it makes a lot of sense because so often the coaches have a picture of the game in their mind, and which has taken them their entire life to learn. And that's kind of the standard that they often hold players to. But you cannot teach the players what's taken you a lifetime in one practice, because that's not where the players are at. An 8-year-old does not see the game at the same concept and understanding, whether we get down on our knee and we're at eye level with them, or we talk in child type terms and use the language that relates to them. If the concept is too advanced, it's kind of challenging to hold the player to that idea that even that they might see on TV and how they would do that. For example, we had a discussion the other night about the questionable simple combination play. And we threw the conversation out, is that something that we would teach first graders, second graders, third graders, fourth graders, or beyond? And we came to the agreement that probably first and second grade, that might be too complex of a concept. Maybe third grade, introduce it. Fourth grade, become better at it and just keep improving as they go through. So that's kind of a novice idea, or a very basic idea of something that it is very simple in the adult mind of what a give and go or a wall pass might look like. But to a child, that concept, a younger child, that concept has no bearing of, you give me the ball, I bounce it off in a different direction to somebody who's going to run onto it. Well, that's kind of, in a sense, predicting the future on where that player is going to run to. And I'm supposed to understand where it's going to happen. So those challenges and those connections sometimes are difficult for the children.
We're talking to Tommy Geis, Technical Director, Massachusetts Youth Soccer, talking about playing time today. Talk to us a little bit about that coach-player relationship when it comes to playing time. I know that there's a lot of, you know, parents want their child to talk to the coach about it. Some parents want to talk to the coach themselves. Talk to us a little bit about that relationship.
Well, throughout coaching education, through U.S. soccer coaching education, grassroots education, very much supports leading the player and finding out the holistic player, not just a player as a soccer player. What's their driving force? What motivates them? Is it motivation for a social environment? Is it an environment where the player was just dropped off as an inexpensive form of babysitting? Or why is the child there? What do they want to get out of the game? And then we make sure that we're helping them achieve that as well. What are we teaching as far as life lessons to them that relate to something that they can improve on in the near future? Some of the life lessons they may not fully connect to until down the road, but some they might pick up on quicker. And building that conversation with the child doesn't really work along the lines of, well, you'll thank me in 20 years, because children do not see the future in 20 years. They very much live in the now or in the near future, depending upon their age. So how far down the road they're actually visualizing is different. It's important for the coach to establish that relationship on A, who the child is in front of them, and B, what they could do to motivate and help the child and get everything out of the game that they want to get out of the game, regardless of what the coach as the adult, what you might want them to get out of the game may not be the same thing that the child wants out of the game.
One thing I would like for you to touch on, Tommy, is talk to us a little bit about the emotional component for a player when it comes to that playing time.
Sure. One of the things that we talk about quite a bit in not just in coaching education, but when we think about just the well-being of children, is creating a safe environment for them. And part of creating a safe environment is not just, are we securing the goals and looking for holes on the field, but it's also the emotional aspect of it. We want them to be treated with dignity and respect, if you will, when they are on the field, from the coaches, from their peers, from the parents. And when players do not have a chance to participate in a game, they just get to sit on the bench and watch the game, you would suggest there's a lot of emotional stresses that go on to that because they don't always know how to process the why. So when we sit them on the bench and assume that they could piece it together on what they've actually done wrong, in a sense, they're children. They haven't done anything wrong. They just may not be as good as some of the other players. And as adults, that's our job to help them through that and help them process and give them that belief or that self-confidence that, look, you may not have the tools yet, but we're going to work together and help you get there. And, you know, if you're not completely comfortable on the field because it's challenging and it's difficult, then that's okay. We're going to help you solve all those problems because that builds confidence in the players and helps them grow. And if we could help them with their confidence, you know, that's a giant step towards player development and helping them improve in the game.
If you just had one message that you would give to coaches everywhere that are listening to this podcast, what's that one piece of advice that you would give to them when it comes to playing time?
Think about if you're currently playing a sport as an adult, whether it's an open league or an over 30 league or over 40 league, whether it's basketball, soccer, volleyball, even golf for that matter. Most of the time, these coaches are not training as players. They don't go out on the field. They show up and they play the game. They also have the expectation to play. So if you're an adult and you showed up and you were given the condition that you only got on the field when the score was 10-0, you probably would either switch teams or stop playing altogether. At the youth level, we haven't really established where the children are in their soccer knowledge. We're trying to keep them involved in the game. So put yourself in their shoes for a while. Would you still play soccer under those conditions? And I would suggest not too many coaches would. because that's not enjoyable for them. If it's not enjoyable for you as an adult, what makes you think it'd be enjoyable for a child?
That's great food for thought for our coaches out there to just kind of self-reflect and think of it from the child's perspective and do what we can. Of course, Massachusetts Youth Soccer is committed to coaching education. We were excited to have recently our Coach Education Week at the end of March. And talk to us just a little bit about that, Tommy, before we go, of just the level of participation that we had in the various communities that we went into.
Well, the level of participation was absolutely shocking in a very good way, because the ability to gather anywhere from 10 to close to 60 people at one location at one time and have them with a growth mindset to kind of take in some knowledge, sharing some discussions about the game was really, really cool. It was exciting to be a part of that. We went into the towns. We had a plan that was somewhat general based on what we believe that the coaches and the towns might need information to get their seasons off to a good start. But we also asked for feedback from the participants after we did a little discussion on administration and a little discussion on best practices on the field. And we got some feedback from them, which is going to be so helpful as we plan for our next Coach Education Week in August, where we could take what their needs are and kind of bring it to life for them. So that part was the interactions with our membership was just enjoyable.
And it was free coaching for our member organizations. It was great. We actually had people reach out to us. Well, how can we get something like that in our community? So we, like Tommy had mentioned, we're going to be having another Coach Education Week, just like we did last week of August. So we're excited. We're starting to put together all the details of that now and getting our plan together and looking back at the feedback and planning forward. So this is going to be something that we're going to be doing here from here on out. And we're excited to do that and to serve our members better here at Mass Youth Soccer. Tommy Geis, Technical Director, Mass Youth Soccer, thank you so much for coming back onto the podcast. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Mass Youth Soccer Final Score Podcast. Join us next time for another informative episode. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.